This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Well, hello there. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. You got me, J. Lewis Mills, and we are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I really, really hope you all had a great and safe New Year's Eve and a great and relaxing New Year's Day. I had quite the interesting New Year's Eve. I'm still here, so it's all good. So I am hoping and praying that you all had a good one as well. So if you follow my social media, you know that just this afternoon I had posted that I was going to do a show on mental health. Because that is such a sensitive subject, I wanted to have an industry expert come on so that they would be able to join the conversation. And that's not going to be possible until next week. So I figured I will do this week's show next week and next week's show this week. So I did post about, I just posted maybe about an hour ago, about knowing your worth and knowing what you should receive and what you do deserve. I have been talking for years about people knowing their worth, and that whole subject of knowing your worth came to me when a particular situation happened. Now I will have to stop and say this was a real situation that happened with me that I'm getting ready to tell you about. So I did receive, once I posted it on my Facebook page, sometime in December, I posted on my Facebook page that it was time for a particular acting studio and some particular people to be put on the level. And when I received, or when I posted that, I did receive some messages asking me to rethink and reconsider doing this show, but that's not possible. It's not possible for me to rethink doing a show if I feel like, number one, my intentions are good, and number two, what I have to say, you know, other people can relate to it, and other people can take a story that I have to tell or take a conversation that I have, and they can apply that to their life, and they can understand that there are other people going through the same situation as they are. So to give you a little backstory, if you don't know, which, I mean, I've talked about it more than once, but if you don't know, I lost the vision in my left eye in February of 2013. When this happened, you know, I mean, if you want to go back to my Facebook page in 2013, I even put the J. Lewis Mills show is over. And I did have a lot of good friends that said, don't quit. You can use this to your advantage. So luckily I didn't quit. But when I did lose the vision in my left eye, I did figure that, you know, life, you know, was going to change so drastically that there would be no way that I would be able to work in this industry. Boy, oh boy, how foolish was that, right? So from February 2013 to the first week of November 2013, I was absent. I removed myself from the world of acting. I wasn't going to acting classes. I wasn't I wasn't on LA casting, self-submitting anything. I wasn't doing any of that. I was just worrying about my eye and what I was going to do. So fast forward to the first week of November. I went, okay, so the acting studio that I went to, unfortunately, this could be a situation where they could turn this into promotion because I'm actually speaking about them. So I am just going to say the acting studio in West Hollywood, California. That's what I'll say. There was a teacher there, and just another side note, I did send the teacher that I'm going to be speaking about. I did send her an email asking her, telling her, I'm going to be speaking about you on my show. Whenever I talk about anybody, I always let them know because if you want to come on and either refute what I have to say or come on and set me straight or come on and explain yourself, I will never talk about something. I will never talk about a subject dealing with someone in my life and not reach out to them and say, look, I'm going to be talking about you on my show. If you want to come on and give your side of the story, you're more than welcome to. So I did reach out to the teacher that I'm going to be speaking about. And guess what? Coincidentally, she's busy. Now, I could totally understand if she is busy at the time at this time, but when I tell you that we can pre-record the conversation and you're still telling me that you're busy, okay. I tried. I asked you to come on the show. You were busy. So, I guess you're just going to stay busy. First week of November 2013, this person that I'm going to be speaking about, this teacher, she had labeled herself, I don't remember the exact title she gave herself, but she labeled herself something to the effect of the studio liaison to, and it was to the owner of the studio, which of course, I'm not going to mention that guy's name. So she said that she was the studio liaison. Let's just basically say the studio liaison to the owner of the studio. Basically, if you had a problem or a situation and you were a student there, you could come to her and you could talk to her about it. So I made an appointment to go and speak with her. So I went to speak to her and I wanted to let her know, look, I understand I have been gone for 8 months, but I really feel as though, I'm ready to go to the casting director workshops. I really feel as though I'm ready to go to the manager workshops. I just wanted to get, your advice. And her response to me was this. This is exactly how she responded to me. Jay Lewis, let me see. I think with your level of work, I think you need to wait a good 2 or 3 months before you go to any casting director or manager workshops here at the studio. And don't let the extra time bother you because so much stuff is being cast here in LA that you will still be okay. Now, first of all, I understand that every day people believe they are ready for something that they're really not. And the reason what she said did not resonate with me at all is because it had been at least 2 years since she had even seen my work. When I first started at this studio, if you miss a class, you have to make it up. and you have to make it up in another class, and you have to make it up. Usually, you have to make it up in another class of the same level. So I was in, I think it was when I was in intro, in my intro class. I missed the class. So I went into her class in order to make it up. That was the last time this teacher saw me work. But she was so very sure that with my level of work, were her exact words, with your level of work, Jay Lewis, I believe you need a good 2 or 3 more months of class here at the studio. I mean, sure, that's great marketing for the studio. That's great because you're going to get 2 to 3 more months of me paying my $200 a month to attend your studio. So the fact that you are telling me that I need 2 or 3 more months, yeah, that's going to be very, very beneficial for you, not so much for me. And just with the tone of voice that she used with me, it kind of did, strike me as a bit negative, and I took what she was saying negatively. Now, let me be more honest. In November of 2013, that's when I was homeless. And I had gotten on the bus from West Hollywood to go back out while I was homeless so that people didn't know I was homeless. I would tell people, I'm going home. I'm going home. Well, there's a bench that overlooks the Santa Monica Beach, and it's right at the intersection of Wilshire Boulevard and Ocean Drive in Santa Monica, California. If you cross the street at that intersection, you cross the street, you're going to see some bushes. Right behind those bushes, there is a bench, and that's where I would go. That was home for me. I slept there more often than not. There was more than one day if I didn't have an audition or I just didn't have bus fare to get downtown Los Angeles to get to the library. I would sit there. So I took the bus out there to home, and I sat on that bench, and I actually had an out loud conversation with me. I am very far from crazy, but there may be a few times where I will speak out loud to myself. Call me crazy if you want to. You don't know me, so don't judge me. I had this conversation with myself, and I said, "Never again will you let somebody sit in your face and tell you something like what you just heard. Never again will you let somebody that hasn't seen your work tell you that you still need more time in order to work out whatever situation she thought I needed to work out to be good enough to go to casting director or manager workshops there at this particular studio." So I had this conversation with myself. And I think this was a while ago, so but I think I was on the internet. I think I was on Facebook, and I saw a manager workshop that was at another studio. And again, I believed in myself. I believed in what I could do at that time. I believed that I was ready. So I sent an email and I said that I wanted to go to, it was an RSVP. So I sent an email with my name and my contact phone number, and I went to this workshop. It was a workshop that was out in Burbank. Unfortunately, I didn't clear it with the owner of this studio. So I don't want to use their name either because I didn't ask permission. I'm not going to mention the first studio because they would take this shit as promotion. I'm not going to mention the second studio because I didn't ask them if I could mention their name on my show. So I went to this studio and there was a manager. And the manager gave us scenes. She taught a class. I don't know if she still does because she's not my manager anymore, but she taught a class. I think it was on Wednesday nights. So she taught an acting class and she brought scenes that she usually uses in her class and she gave them to us. And the scene that she gave to me, it had two other people in it. So there were three of us in the scene. So we go through and we do the scene. And the first thing she asks me is, "You're SAG, right?" And I was, "No, no, I'm not SAG at all." And she said, "Well, you should be." And she said, "I have taught this scene in my class for several years. And if I didn't know what the text was by heart, I would have thought those ad libs that you put in there were part of the scene." She said, "You were so natural in doing that. As well, you knew to give respect to the emotion that was going on at the top of the scene. At the top of the scene, I just paused and I was kind of breathing heavy. And the situation was I was having a conversation, going to start a conversation with someone that I really didn't want to. So, I gave respect to that at the top of the scene. And then there were some ad libs that I threw in there. And so I told her, I said, "Oh, well, my home studio that I go to, I had a meeting not too long ago with one of the teachers there, and she told me that I needed 2 or 3 more months of work before I went to any classes there at their studio. There at the studio." And the manager asked me, what studio is this that you're talking about?" So I told her. And she just shook her head and shrugged her shoulders. She's like, "Well, I've never heard of that place, so I don't necessarily know if you should listen to them because I just got finished watching you do a scene, and I know right now I could be watching you on television." And that kind of hit me. Sure, we all like, to hear people say things good about us. And we don't like it when people say things bad. More often than not, when someone says something bad, we automatically say, you know what, they're wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. But I've got a teacher at a particular studio whose biggest credit at that time, I don't know about now because I don't follow her on IMDb, I don't follow her on Facebook. Actually, she blocked me from Facebook. But the biggest credit that she had at the time on IMDb was a co-star role on a show. One co-star role on a show. That was her biggest role. So I've got somebody who the biggest thing they did at the time that they're telling me I'm not ready was a co-star role, but then I've got a manager telling me that I'm ready already, I should already be SAG, and I should already be working. I mean, you try and balance that if you want to. Who would you listen to? Right? Who would you listen to? So, maybe 2 or 3 weeks passed, and her business partner, the manager's business partner, was out of town. And she finally came back into town, and all three of us, the manager I met with, her business partner, and myself, we all met at a restaurant. I believe it was in North Hollywood. And the business partner that was out of town, when I got there, She said, "Oh my God, it is so good to finally meet you because for the last 2 weeks, all I've been hearing about was this new actor, J. Lewis Mills. This guy is great. This guy, I've been hearing about you so much. So I'm finally glad to meet you." We had a meeting and we came to terms, and she ended up signing me as a client. I'd say maybe, okay, so that was the beginning of December by this time. I believe it was the second week of December. There was another workshop that was going on at the same studio that I went to meet the manager, and it was a Q&A workshop. It was a workshop where the beginning of the workshop was just going to be us actors performing an exercise. And the sec we took a break, and the second part of the workshop was going to be, I believe there was an agent, a casting director, a producer, and a director, I believe. And they were all sitting on a panel of four. And the second part was for them to tell us what they did in their respective jobs and to answer any questions that we may have. So all four started telling us or told us what they did. And the organizer of the workshop said, "Okay, now does anybody have any questions?" And a few people had some questions, and I raised my hand. And I said, "This question is for the agent. I have three questions for you. Does your agency represent anybody that looks like me? Would I fit in your agency?" And the third question that I asked was, "Can you and me make money together?" And she chuckled a little bit, and her answers were no, no, and yes. No, her agency, excuse me, no, yes, and yes. No, her agency didn't represent anybody that looked like me. Yes, I would be a good fit at her agency. And yes, her and I could make money together. So I raised my hand again and I said, "Okay, I'm sorry, I have one more question for you. When can I schedule a time to come into your office to have a sit-down conversation with you to figure out what I have to do to hold up my end of a business relationship between the two of us?" And she said, "Talk to me after class." And I said, "Okay," after the workshop. And I said, "Okay." So I did. And she gave me her card and she said that they were getting ready to go out of the office for the holidays. But they would be ready, I mean, they would be back in the office, and she would be ready to talk to me if I contact her January 6th. That's when she would be back in the office. So I wanted to wait until January 8th. I did not want to contact her on the 6th because that was her first day back. I didn't want to get lost in the shuffle because this was very serious to me. I've got a manager, and now I've got an agent that seems to show a level of interest in me. So I waited until the 8th, and I think I called her. I don't think I sent her an email. I think I actually called her. She told me to send her an email, but I think I called her. And I reminded her who I was. She remembered who I was, and we started talking. And that's how our relationship as talent and representative started. So she officially started representing me January of 2014. Now, throughout that whole year, I was doing music videos and the low budget films. So she was getting me out there. She was getting me some work. And then in March, of 2015. You know, I just to back up a little bit, it took me the longest time to tell my agent that I was homeless because I didn't know. I thought that, she would be somebody that said, "Oh my God, this guy is homeless. I can't represent a homeless person." I didn't know that she was just going to represent and respect me for the talent she knew that I had. So it took me a while to even tell her that I was homeless. So when she would book stuff for me, when she would book auditions for me, I would find a bush somewhere, or I would find somewhere safe, somewhere close around where the audition was, and I would leave my suitcase and I would go into the audition. If I had to actually work on set somewhere, I would take my luggage on set with me and pretend like, oh, this is just extra clothing options in case you need me to change my clothes. Because when you're on set for many hours, and there's no way I could leave my bag anywhere for several hours and think that it was going to be okay. Let's fast forward to March of 2015, just about 14 months, maybe a little more than 14 months of her being my agent. I got a call from her telling me about a show, a pilot that was called Heart Matters. And she wanted me to go to the audition. So she sent me the sides, and there was a little, a little, it was a little bit of a headache for me to get to the audition, but I finally got to the audition Wednesday, March 10th, I believe. Let's just say, just so I'm not mixing up dates, it was like the beginning of the second week of March. I know it was a Wednesday. So I went to the audition on a Wednesday. I went to the callback. I was invited to the callback before I even left the audition, which I guess that's the funny part of the story. When I went in for the audition, I did the audition. The casting director gave me a note and I took it, and she said, "Okay, do it again." So I did it again. And this never, ever, ever happened in an audition before. She said, after the audition was over, she said, "Okay, have a seat. I would like to talk to you for a little bit." And I said, "Oh, okay. Never had this before, but okay." So I sat down, and she was asking me questions about my background, about my family, about what my parents did, why I got into acting. She was having a conversation with me. Okay, so I thought the conversation was over. So I got up and was getting ready to leave, and she said, "No, no. Sit down. I'm not finished talking to you yet." Okay, so I sat down again. And we continued talking, and once we were done, once our conversation was finished, she said, "I would like to invite you to come back tomorrow." I didn't even get a chance to leave. She said, "I would like to invite you to come back tomorrow for a callback." And Or she said, "I want to call, ask you to come in tomorrow for a call back. Do you have time?" And I honestly, this is exactly what I said out loud. I said, "Let me see. Do I have time for a call back for an NBC pilot? Yeah. I think I can do that. I think I can do that." And she understood the comedy that I was trying to put forth, and she started laughing. And she said, "Okay, let me go and see about a time." And she came back and she gave me the time. So I left there knowing that I was going to a callback. So I showed up the next day for a call for the callback. And again, I am really bad with just like name dropping. If I don't ask people about it, I'm not going to use their name. But one of the executive producers of the show was there at the callback, and she is a very well-known person. Very, I mean, she's an actor herself. So, I mean, if you followed me or you know anything about me, then you pretty much know who I'm talking about. But she was a very well-known actor, and but she was also the executive producer of this show. And when I walked in the room, she had kind of had her head down. And when she raised her, she had on a sun hat, one of those straw sun hats. So when she raised her head up to see me, instantly I knew who it was. And I was like, oh my God, you're, and I said her name. And she, very, very low, calm, cool voice, hello, how are you? It's nice to meet you. And I was like, whoa. Now, number one, she said it's nice to meet me. Number two, I'm getting ready to audition for and right in front of this person. I mean, I'd watched her on television for years. So instantly I was like terrified. But just as instantly, I turned that around real quick. And I was like, nah, buddy, you better button it up. You're getting ready to audition for, you know, I said her name to myself. So I did the audition for her and the casting director. And, you know, the executive producer gave me a note. And I took the note. And right after I was finished, she looked at the casting director and she said, you know, I love an actor that can take a note. I'm like, this chick is saying this right in front of me. So that in and of itself is validation. I have a fellow actor. I have a fellow successful, working, respected actor in this town telling me or telling somebody in front of me that I know how to take a note. I'm telling you, people, that had to have been one of the most humbling, one of the most grateful experiences, beginning experiences that I have had. I've had a lot since then. But that was a very grounding moment for me. It didn't make me cocky. It didn't make me conceited. It didn't make me say, oh, yeah, I knew I could do it. No, it gave me validation that I was right about me. I know I can do this, and I knew I could do this. And I have a successful, working, more than just one co-star role on our IMDb page actor telling me, I know how to take a note, and what I did was good. So I, you know, I once the callback was done, I even sat down and had, I know this is what happened. I sat down thinking it was going to be another interview session. So I'm just sitting there looking at the two of them, and the casting director's like, okay, thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were about to. You know, I thought we were about to talk again. I didn't say that. I was like, oh, okay. Thank you very much. I got up and I left. About an hour later, and this is the part that kind of chokes me up a little bit. So sorry. But about an hour later, my agent called me and she said, I don't know what you did in that room, but they are asking you back for a screen test tomorrow. And I was just blown away, you know, because not, first of all, I never went to an audition that ended the way this one did. I had not yet been to a callback where there was a named person there that I should have been nervous about, but it gave me that much more energy and confidence because I said to myself, you are good enough to be in a room with this person. let alone just audition. You are good enough to be in the room with this person, meaning my executive producer. So, about an hour after my callback was over, my agent called me and she said, I don't know what you did in that room, but they would like to know if you are available tomorrow for a screen test. People, I may not know all of the terminology, so I had to ask her, well, what exactly happens in a screen test? And she's, my agent said, that's the last step before they decide who they're going to go with. And there is you and one other person going to this screen test. Out of all of the people that auditioned for this role, me and one other person made it to the screen test. So I get to the screen test on that Friday, and I do it. In the room are three of the executive producer of the show that ended up being named Heartbeat. At the time, it was Heart Matters. So there were in the room, there were three executive producers. One of the executive producers was the creator of the show. The camera person, and I think. Yes, the casting director was the reader again, I believe. That you don't I think the casting director was the reader again in the screen test. Yes, she was. So, I get they put the wire, they do the microphone thing. I mean, people, this is the real deal. I'm oh my God. I'm auditioning for an NBC show. This is the real deal right here. So they hook up the wire, the microphone to me, and I have to wait in a room while the other person is doing his audition or his screen test. And then I go in and I do my screen test and I do the scene. And after I did the scene the first time, I heard two of the executive producers, they were sitting against the wall, and one said to the other one, this guy is so fucking natural. And I heard that. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I heard that. And again, it was just another validation for me. So one of the other executive producers, he came up to me and he said, that was great. That was perfect. But your connection with the reader, it's there. It's clear. You are definitely connected. And he gave me a note of something to do. And I did it. And after I did it, he said, amazing. Thank you very much. And as I was leaving, one of the executive producers, as well as the creator of the show, she shook my hand and she said, thank you very much for coming in today. We really enjoyed your test. And I said, well, thank you very much for having me. I've never gone this far before, so thank you. And excuse me. This was Friday. Saturday, I didn't hear anything at all. Sunday day, my agent sent me an email that said, production would like to know if you have a passport. And I said, yes, I do. And she emailed me back, okay, I'll let them know. Later on that same Sunday, around 6:37 to be exact, my agent called me and she said, do you know what your passport number is? And I said, no, I do not. And she said, well, you're going to have to get it for me by tomorrow. And then she started yelling, "You got the job! You got the job! They gave you the job!" And I said her name, and I said, "Please don't fuck with me right now." And she said, "I'm not fucking with you right now." And she told me, you know, what she said that the NBC lawyers were drawing up my contract as we speak, and she had to call me back in order to ask me or tell me what they were offering me. And it was up to me whether I accepted or I turned it down. Now, anybody that can hear my voice knows that I was not going to turn that shit down. I don't give a damn if they told me they would give me $500 in free food. I was going to take it. Now, I'm not a fool. I'm not going to get on here and tell y'all how much I made every episode, but I will say this. I'm sitting there happy as a fucking lark because I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm about to make. They can't pay me any less. They've got to at least pay me $2,500 a show. I've got to at least make $2,500 a show. Would you believe that when these people came back, they offered me a whole hell of a lot more than that per episode? I was blown away. That next Thursday, a week, 1 week, 7 days after my call back, I am sitting on a plane, 7 o'clock at night. I think it was 7 o'clock at night, heading to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, because I was given, a series regular role on a medical drama that was going to. That we were going to see about getting on NBC. Now, anybody that knows this town knows, you know, it's one thing to get the pilot. It's a whole different situation when your show gets picked up. And of course, you know, my show got picked up. So I tell that story to say this. Had I listened to that teacher that told me I wasn't fucking ready, had I listened to that teacher that told me I need to stay there at the studio and I need to go through 2 or 3 more months of class before I was ready for a casting director workshop at that studio or for a manager's workshop at that studio. Had I listened to her, you all would have never seen me on Heartbeat. You would have never seen me in anything that I did after Heartbeat. And I don't even necessarily know if my path and my agent's path would have ever crossed. Now, let me be clear about something else. I have had one agent, and there may have been some times because I am an admitted hard pill to swallow. I get that. There may have been a once or twice where there may have been ruffling of the feathers. But my agent believed in me from day one. From the first time she saw me perform up until today. I don't mean this disrespectfully, but that woman believed in me 100%. So I don't care how far my career goes. The chances of me getting rid of my agent, and you know, she said to me one time, she said, "You know, your career is going to get to the point where you get too big for me." Bullshit. Bullshit. If anybody wants me, they got to take you too. That's what I told her. But then, of course, yes, her and the owners of the agency explained to me that sometimes, you know, when it comes to a film, there's a package deal that's done, like with a particular talent agency. You know, there's a package deal that's done where there can be actors and a director, or actors and screenwriters, or what have you. They're all in a bundle. So it's a package deal. So because that was explained to me, then okay, I get that. But if I have anything to do with it, I'm going to be with the agent that I have until it's time for me to retire. Because again, that woman 100% believed in me. Now, again, I stated earlier, there are many times when people think they're ready for something, and clearly they're not. But how dare you tell me that I'm not ready to go to a manager's workshop or go to a casting director workshop at your fucking studio, but I'm good enough to. And let me be just a little more clear, because somebody's going to say, well, Jay Lewis, that was 14 months after the fact, almost 16 months after the fact. I didn't step fucking foot into one acting class. When I left that studio that told me how I still needed work, I did not go to not one acting class. I did not join one acting studio after that. So damn you for trying to say so much time has passed and, well, you just grew and you became a better actor. No, I was the same fucking guy that sat in this teacher's face for her to say, let's see, you need 2 or 3 more months of work. I'm the same person. I was the same person. I would have walked into, if I would have done that audition for, at the time, again, Heart Matters, if I would have done that audition in 2013, if I would have done that audition in 2014, it would have turned out the same fucking way it turned out in 2015. I was the same actor, the same person. So again, I tell that story because not to try and down anybody. When I did send this particular teacher an email asking her to come on my show, I don't know if it's the black skin or the eye patch, but she thought that it was in her best interest to say to me or to write when she was telling me how she was too busy to come on my show. She wrote, well, I understand your, because I told her, in my response to her, I said, well, because you can't be here, that doesn't mean I'm not going to do the show. My show still has to go on, and I'm still going to talk about you. Her response, in her response to that, she said, well, I would just hope that you tell this story to, I hope that you tell this story with the fact that I still have to work and you consider my safety. The fuck do you mean I consider your safety? You trying to say that I'm going that a bunch of hoods, a bunch of hoodlums listen to my show and somebody's going to come try and fuck you off? What does that mean? I need to consider your safety. What you need to consider is what the hell you say to people. That's what you need to consider. And again, I'm not going to use this person's name because I'm telling y'all, if y'all knew the place I was talking about, you would completely understand how if I mentioned the studio or if I mentioned the people involved, they would absolutely see this as some level of promotion and try and market it. I'm just saying. So I don't know what that comment was supposed to mean, you know, saying, telling me something about make sure I keep her safety in mind. But another thing that I do keep in mind, and I have said, I mean, I've talked about this in other interviews that I did because it was a very real situation for me. And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I will always talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it to nauseam, but if it fits, if there's somebody going through something, I absolutely will talk about it because I want people to know. You know, for some reason, people think you show up on a TV show just automatically. You just your life just changes for the better, and you're just so rich, and you've made it. I had people tell me when I first got Heartbeat. I had a friend of mine. Oh my God, you made it! You made it! I didn't make shit, but the best out of a very good opportunity. That's all I've made. I haven't made it as an actor. I was on one show for one season. What do you mean I made it? Anybody that has that type of a thought pattern, anybody that thinks, oh, well, I was on a show, so I'm better than you. Let me tell you like this. Whether it's the teacher that gave me this bullshit advice, whether it's one of the 53 people at the studio that, do you know, I got unfriended by 53 people that one weekend. I got unfriended on Facebook by 53 people that go to this studio because I got on my Facebook page and I was saying how much I did not agree with what this teacher said. But because everybody, quote unquote, had her back, I got unfriended. I mean, what you really don't understand is you did me a favor because you, the fake people, just eliminated themselves from my existence. I didn't have to do it. They did it themselves. But I don't care who it is. J. Lewis Mills is not better than anybody on this planet. I may make better decisions than some people, not all people, because I still make dumbass decisions. Trust me, I'm going through one right now. I still make some pretty dumbass decisions. But I am not better than anybody. Again, I may make better decisions. I may try and take full advantage over out of I may try and take full advantage of any opportunity that comes to me, but never now, never ever will I think I am better than anybody walking this earth because I'm grounded. I'm very grateful for everything that I get. And anytime I get an opportunity, it's humbling. Even to be able to tell this story right now, it brings a level of humility because, I mean, it's not, I don't mean this in a conceited way as if to say I proved you wrong, which I did, but I don't mean it in that way. What I mean to say is, or what the message I'm trying to convey is, know your worth. Know what you can do. Know what you can't do. Now, if you're going to do this, listen, you have to be honest with yourself. How can I say this? You can dream big. But you have to dream big within your boundary of dreaming big. But if you believe you can do something, if you believe you can achieve something, if you believe you can go to that next level, don't let somebody else tell you you're not ready. Don't let somebody else tell you it's not your time yet. Because nobody, and I believe this firmly, nobody knows you better than you know you. I hear some people say, I know that motherfucker better than they know themselves. I don't know. I don't know. Because you're not with that person 24 hours a day. And unless you are really one of them special kind of people, you are with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Only you know all of your thoughts. Only you know all of your desires. And only you can really be truthful with you. Now, yes, there are some people that can be delusional with others and themselves. So I do get that and I do recognize that. But for the most part, You have to be honest with yourself if that's a thought pattern that you're going to have. But if you really, honestly, truly believe that you can do something, don't let anybody tell you that you can't. Just don't do it. I will say it one more time. Had I listened, had I said, okay, I'll take your advice. I'll just stay here for 2 or 3 more months, and then we'll revisit this situation in 2 or 3 more months. Okay, that was November. There is no class at this studio anytime in the month of December. So that basically means I would have had to have gone to classes again in January, for January, February, and March. And then I would have had the opportunity to revisit the situation to see about going to a casting director or a manager workshop at this particular studio. People, my audition for Heart, I'm just going to say Heartbeat. My audition for Heartbeat was in March. I wouldn't have known my agent. So there would have been no way for me to have done this had I listened to this particular teacher. And I was saying earlier, but then I sidetracked myself. One of the thoughts that I even spoke about in other interviews that I did, I wonder how many people, how many other actors this particular teacher told they weren't ready. And people put so much stock in what she said, they just stopped acting. They just went back home. Well, such and such said that I still need 2 or 3 more months, or I still need a little more work, but I can't afford this. I can't, it costs money to go to these classes. It costs a lot of money to go to the, when you are a struggling actor, it costs a lot of money. So just imagine being a struggling homeless actor. I just didn't have the money. I didn't have the time. And I didn't have the confidence in what was said to me. It's a damn good thing I didn't listen. And I really honestly think we're starting 2018. I really honestly think that needs to be a thought pattern that is shared by more than one person. I mean, that's shared by more than just me. Know your own worth. Know your own worth. I mean, I could even go so far as to say one of my castmates of Heartbeat. One of my castmates of Heartbeat, I walked up to, I'm going to say them because I'm not going to distinguish whether it was a him or a her. I walked up to one of my castmates after I did a scene. And I said, how was that? Was that good? My castmate looked at me. You know it was. I don't need to tell you it was. You know that was good. Okay, yeah, I kind of did. And yeah, okay, maybe I was asking just to get your validation. Even as early as well, it's 2018 now. As early as 2016 or as late as 2016, I still, even though I was in that job, I still had doubts, but I had to cut that shit out. So, I don't doubt me anymore. I for damn sure don't doubt what I can do in this town anymore. I don't necessarily subscribe either to people saying stay in your lane, because sometimes you have to go out of your lane. So I know my worth, but I also know my boundaries. I all will, oh wow, it's been an hour already. Wow. Okay. Well, I guess this is going to be my wrap up. I can just say it again, people. Just know your worth. Know what you can do. Know what you can't do. And believe in yourself. Don't ask other people Is this okay? Is that all right? Did I do a good job? I don't know. Did you? What do you think? You're here. You're here for a reason. You didn't get killed off the show yet, so you must be doing something right. I mean, it wouldn't have been possible for, well, whatever. You didn't get killed off the show, so, you did something right. You're doing something right. And I'm not just talking to actors. I'm not just talking to, my listeners that are actors. I don't give a fuck if you're a garbage man. If you're a sanitation worker, I guess that's the correct way of saying it. If you're a sanitation worker, man, you better empty them garbage cans like nobody else can and do it moving. Because that's you. That's your job. So I don't care what walk of life you're in. I don't care if you're a student. I don't care if you're a parent. I don't care if you're a kid. I don't care if you are an employee to the worst boss in the world. Know your worth. Know what you can do. Don't put yourself in a situation either for somebody to say, "See, I told you. See, I told you you couldn't do that." Because if you put yourself in that situation, you're doing yourself a lot more harm than good. So you don't want to do that. I know that this might be a bit of an awkward note to end the show on, but I do hope that what I said resonated. And okay, just so I don't get any crazy bullshit messages or any crazy bullshit emails about this story that I'm telling, I did not tell this story to be negative to anybody, towards anyone. If I was trying to be negative, I would have named names. Well, I probably wouldn't because I honestly believe it would have been taken the wrong way. But I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to help people. There's somebody out there right now listening to my show who is going through it at work. There's somebody going through it right now in high school because people are telling them how much of a piece of shit they are. Stop listening to those people. Do you know you? Don't listen to anyone else's advice. My grandfather told me something that I adopted in my way of thinking at a very early age. My grandfather said, "You always want to consider the source before you react." And that's what I had to do. That's what I had to start doing. I had to start considering the source, and that's what I'm doing here. Now, I didn't mention this teacher's name. All I said was the best thing she did was a co-star role on in one episode on a television show. That's not negative. That's just the truth. I'm just being honest. But I will never tell a story. I will never speak about a real situation that happened in my life, trying to be negative, because negativity gets you nowhere. It really gets you nowhere. I told that story and I voiced the opinion that I voiced over the last hour and 4 minutes because I'm trying to help people. There are so many, in my opinion, there are so many diamonds in the rough that live in our society, our worldwide society, that will stay a diamond in the rough because so many people are in their ear telling them how bad they are, how much they can't do. And you also kind of have to give respect to the thought pattern. Why is this person saying this to me? Why is this particular person telling me I'm not good enough? Why is this particular person telling me I can't do something? What is their motivation to do that? Maybe it's someone that tried to do the same thing that you're doing and they couldn't be successful and they don't want to see your success. You never know. I'll close it by saying this. Once I got onto Heartbeat, I was in Vancouver shooting the pilot. I was taking pictures of myself on set, which, by the way, just anybody that is thinking of giving Jay Lewis a job, you don't have to worry about me taking pictures on set anymore because I'm done with that. You don't have to worry about me asking to bring people up to set to see to see the set, because I'm done with that too. You know, that was those were a couple of bad decisions I can say that I made. But I was, you know, taking pictures and I was putting them on my Facebook page. There was one particular guy that went to the same studio that I went to. And if any of you all use Facebook, you know, if you send somebody a Facebook message, like a private message, a direct message, you know, in the right-hand corner, you can see when they've read it because their profile picture will drop down to it. So this guy said, but I think back in 2015, I think it was just a check mark. I don't remember. But there was a guy that went to this same studio and he said, I am going to wait until, or the message said, I'm going to wait until I know you have read this, after which I have to unfriend you. Period. He went on to say, it's nothing personal. I have no hard feelings towards you. I am very happy for you and your success. However, I have been out here for over 10 years, 15 years, I think he said. 10, it was either 10, 12, or 15 years, he said. And I haven't made it to where I want to. You have been doing this for such a short amount of time, and you are already a series regular. Just my level of competition won't let me look at your posts. So I have to unfriend you, but I do wish you the best. And this will be something that we can laugh about if we ever work together again, or if we ever work together. You think we're going to work together? Okay, we will. Because. Look, when it comes to my work, hey, I'm a businessman. I don't have to like you in order to work with you. If you're good at what you do and we can make good TV or we can make a good film, I don't have to like you. I don't have to ever speak one word to you. But between action and cut, we are going to have the best fucking chemistry known to man. But between cut and action, I probably wouldn't even look at you. That's just me. So, you know, and you know, I told a couple of people about that. Oh my God, what a dick. What a douchebag. Did that piss you off? Wait, what? Did that piss me off? No, that didn't piss me off. That has to single-handedly be one of the best compliments that somebody has ever given me. You're telling me that the success that I went out and got, the success that I was blessed enough to achieve, is too much for you to see. I must be doing something right. Why would I be upset at that? Why would I give somebody that kind of power over me to upset me? It's just not going to happen. So that was one of the biggest compliments that I received. I still feel that way. And if I ever see this person in life again, how you doing? What's been up? I have no aggression towards you. None whatsoever. So, all right, people. I am about 10 minutes overdue. It was much, much worth it for me, in my opinion. I do wish you all a very happy and safe week. Make sure you join me next week, where I will be speaking of couple of situations going on that have to do with mental health. But as I said earlier, this subject is such a sensitive subject. I think it deserves more respect than just my commentary. I really do believe that in order to strengthen the points that I am going to make next week, I do believe that I do need an industry expert to come on and to a degree validate what I am going to say. So thank you all. Again, happy, happy New Year. Please stay safe. Put it in your DNA. Put it in your DNA. Know your worth. Thank you very kindly for joining me. I do hope you have a good week. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.